Welcome to Your Inner Radiance, your new go-to for self-love practices, yoga lifestyle inspiration, and Ayurvedic tips to support you to uncover your inner radiance. Hello, radiant friends, and welcome back to Your Inner Radiance. I'm so excited because I have my great teacher, Monica Mesa Dasi, with us today, and good friend and mentor to me. Monica Mesa Dasi is a tantric bhakti devotional yogini, intuitive mentor, and plant medicine woman, currently about to publish a book. Spiritual path and practices have inspired her to launch transformational programs that focus on the three gems of healing, self-love, the power of practice, and purpose-based living. These three gems form the foundation of all of her Soul on Fire programs and offerings. Her message, which I love, is love yourself and you love the world. And it's what she believes can bring the personal and planetary healing that is now needed for this precious human life we have been blessed with. Welcome to the podcast, Monica.
Thank you so much, Lily. Thank you.
Yes, I am so excited to get to chat with you on Your Inner Radiance, because this podcast really was founded on the idea to share about living in alignment with a wholesome lifestyle, particularly the yogic and the Ayurvedic lifestyle. And you are someone who is a truly integrated yogini, and you really are on the path, and someone who I look up to and have admired for so many years. And I'll just let everybody know my experience, how I got to know Monica, is that I'd already been interested in prana vinyasa for some time. I loved the flow and the principles. And when I saw that she was going to be teaching at Telluride Yoga Festival, probably 8 or 9 or so years ago, I went to her class, and it was everything and more. And I was blown away, and I loved it. And that started our connection. And soon after that, I took her prana vinyasa teacher training and became a prana vinyasa teacher, and really got to have the pleasure and privilege of becoming close with you, Monica, and it's really shaped my life since then. And now I get to lead prana vinyasa yoga teacher trainings after doing one, you know, co-training with you, and so it's really propelled me, our relationship and your inspiration. So thank you.
You are so welcome. Well, I can say ditto to so much of that, because you are one of the most integrated living yoginis that I have ever met. And so you are a true inspiration to me as well. And I love how that works when you get to teach somebody and be their teacher, and then the roles reverse and they get to be your teacher, and then you both get to be each other's teachers, and you get to share the alchemy of everything that we've learned and in all our individual ways of sharing it with the world. So it's truly my joy and honor to be here with you today, Lily.
Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm always so honored to hear those sweet words. And I will tell you all that one thing that Monica is so good at, something that one of the reasons I admire her, is that she sees the best in everyone, and she's so good at really building people up and helping lift others and see their strengths and propel them forwards. And I do want to say, I want to just say to everybody that there was a major snow, a lot of snow here last night. And so as I sit here, I keep hearing these sounds, and it sounds like somebody is like outside. I'm like, who is that? It sounds like stomping around, but it's like avalanches of snow falling off the roof.
Wow.
So if you hear those noises.
I just heard it.
Wow. And Monica is in Colombia right now. So that's a totally different climate.
Yep, it is. I'm actually in the countryside. So there's a lot of hills, but no snow, unfortunately. I love snow.
Yeah,
but it's a beautiful place.
Right. And when I met you, you were in Crested Butte, Colorado, which is lots of snow. And that's where I went and did my training. And I guess what I want to start with question-wise is, why are you so passionate about the path of yoga?
Yes, it's a good question. And you know, so many reasons. But I think one of the main reasons is that it opens the doorway and the pathway to so much more and of depth of living and so much of an opportunity to go inside your own soul and yourself. And it just, for me, from being a yogini for over 30 years, for owning yoga studios and trainings and mentoring, and you know, all the things, I have really seen the transformation that has occurred, not only in myself, but in other people. And I just think it's just this very approachable pathway for people to begin a spiritual path and a self-love journey, really.
Yes, I totally agree. And I'm always thinking, you know, yoga is for everyone, even though there's, you know, so many kinds of yoga, so many kinds of people, and not every kind of yoga is for everyone. There is a yoga for everyone.
Absolutely.
And yeah. And I know you, I mean, I know that you are so dedicated and have been for so long. And I know like your morning practice is so regular and you're so devoted, and it's something that's inspired me and my sadhana, my sacred practice. And I'm curious, I would love for you to share with everybody what your morning practice looks like nowadays, and maybe compare it to how it, you know, used to be or how it was when you started, and just talk a little bit about how you've cultivated that dedication and what it means to you.
Thank you. Another wonderful question. Well, you're right. Everybody who knows me knows I'm really passionate about daily practice. I actually created this course called The Power of Practice, and that is available for everybody. And from that passion. And I think that the main reason why, or how I came to it, is because I have had a lot of challenges in my life. And what I found is that if I did my morning practice before the day began, as a single mom, as a business owner, as a woman going through divorce, as a woman having dealt with lots of trauma and tragedies and whatever, all the things that life handed me, I realized very quickly that if I did my practice first, I would be able to handle everything a lot better and be a better mom, a better teacher, a better human. You know, so really, I just designed my life and my day so that I did my practice before waking up the kids for school or before going to work or before anything, really. And it just became a really special ritual in my life that I realized, whether it was 2 hours long or long, it was all, my day was always better, and I could be a better person if I did my daily practice. And so that's the first part of the question. Is that enough, mm-hmm. or did you want more about that?
Yeah, beautiful. And I definitely totally agree. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want you to give us a little glimpse into what your morning sadhana looks like.
Well, I would love to share that, but I also don't want to, like, I don't want it to be intimidating either, because when I started doing a daily practice, that's kind of a fun story I can tell you about.
Yeah, tell us.
Is I was a real fitness freak in my youth. Ever since I was 13 years old, I started lifting weights, cycling, running. I really used fitness as a way to find peace in my heart with everything that was going on. And I went to college. I was a bodybuilder. I did competitions. I won some. I kept doing all the things and all the combination of things. And then one time I had a really bad injury. I slipped a disc from lifting weights. Mm-hmm. And I was a starving college student on student loans. I didn't have insurance. I didn't know what to do. And at that time I had this professional baseball player boyfriend, and he was like, you should do yoga, because they had yoga teachers come out to their spring training and everything. I was like, oh yeah, right, yoga, give me a break, you know, I'm a bodybuilder, runner, cycler, I'm not gonna do yoga. And I just got desperate because my back was hurting so bad. I was like, okay, go ahead and show me some yoga stuff. And that's how it all began, because I noticed right away that it really did help me. And so from there, I started taking Iyengar yoga, which is a therapeutically based yoga, and healed my back and started just really falling in love with yoga. And then I kind of added that into all my fitness activities. But then when I got married and started having children, it was kind of getting hard to do the running, the lifting, the yoga, the cycling. It was all a bit much with nursing a baby and caring mm-hmm. for a baby and all the things. And with the birth of my second son, I did it all the way through my first son, Shane. And when my second son was born, here I am, like, nursing two babies and, you know, doing all the natural parenting and trying to do all that fitness stuff. And I got to the point where I was like, this is not working. This is too much. This doesn't feel good. My body was tired. And so I decided to do an experiment and decided to pick one thing: running, lifting, cycling, or yoga. And I sat on it for a little while, like, which one should I pick? I'm just going to pick one. I'm going to do that one thing every single day. And I'm just going to commit myself to that one thing and see how I feel. And I ended up choosing yoga. And I did yoga every single day. I had a book. I opened it up. I memorized sequences, and I just kind of did it myself. And that was, Sky is 26 years old. So that was about 26 years ago. And that was the end of all the other things. I think that, of course, I don't think I ever ran. I think that was the end of running. That was the end of running. Although I always do outdoor things, nothing else sort of like that kind of fitness oriented. And so that's how it all started. And back then, getting to the what do I do now, what's my practice look like now, back then it was really just yoga. It was like, you know, a half an hour, 45 minutes of yoga while my kids were napping. And I was young, you know, in my early 30s. And at that stage of life, the physical aspect of yoga is very appropriate. And so that's what I did. And then throughout the years and the decades, you know, as you sort of move through the stages of yoga or the limbs of yoga, you start getting interested in other things, meditation, pranayama, the breath practices, Ayurveda, etc. And so prayers, mantra, etc. Mm-hmm. So it kind of built slowly over the years to the point where now the way my practice looks is I get up quite early in the morning and I do the Dinacharya, the tongue scraping and the water at room temperature with lemon and, you know, the massaging of my gums and a little Abhyanga and those sort of things. And then I sit down for pranayama and I have done this series of five pranayamas for a long time. I don't even know, 10, 15 years maybe. And there are a series of five pranayamas that Dr. Vasant Laud has said, you know, if you do these five pranayamas, it'll change your life. Mm. And so anyhow, they take about a half an hour and I do those. And I also do about five different bhakti prayers. I could sing you guys one if you want. And yeah. And mantras and prayers. And then I do like a specific Buddhist meditation from my tantric Buddhist path. Or a Dakini mandala or feeding your demons, one of these from the tradition that I study from Lama Soltram Alioni. Mm-hmm. And then after all that is done, I do my yoga practice, my asana practice. So it's interesting that when I started yoga, it was all about the asana and I went right into asana and that was pretty much it. But as time has gone on through the decades, the other parts of yoga practices come first, the breath, the bhakti, the devotional practices, the mantras, and the meditation. And then whatever's left for time is what I do in my yoga practice.
Wow. Yeah, that is so inspiring. Mm. Is it, what does it look like? Is it like an hour nowadays, 2 hours?
I'd say it's between 2 to 2.5 hours.
Wow. And what time do you wake up?
You know, I usually like to wake up right when the sky is starting to get light around, you know, between 5 and 6, depending on where I am.
Right. Wow. Awesome. Well, there's some inspiration for you all out there. And I know you said you didn't want it to be intimidating. And I kind
but of like I said, you know, like yeah. I said, it could be what I tell people, you know, I teach this 21-day bhakti yoga sadhana every year. And what I tell people at the end of that is, look, you've learned a lot of things. If you just pick one prayer or mantra, one pranayama, 5 minutes of sitting in meditation, and 15 minutes of yoga.
Right. You know,
it could be, or 11 minutes of yoga. Your practice could be 15 minutes long. It, the power of practice is in the daily ritual. That's where it gets into your grooves. And that's where I believe the transformation happens.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's kind of like with Ayurveda. I mean, even for me, I've learned so much about Ayurveda and I, you know, I mostly live pretty Ayurvedically, but not completely. And there's still a lot of things I don't do that, you know Ayurveda teaches. But I've learned to not feel guilty or bad about that because I've also witnessed that even when you start with one thing or, you know, little things bit by bit, it naturally, the more you, you dive into a wholesome, healthy practice, it influences your whole life. It changes your lifestyle. And then slowly over time, over the years, you're just naturally drawn to do more and more. So you don't need to try to push yourself to do it all right away.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I think that it's really important to create a sustainable practice that isn't going to frustrate you or burn you out or cause too much disruption in your life, because then you won't stick to it. And right. So that's why I always recommend starting with, you know, one thing of each and maybe 20 minutes, because I think almost anyone can get up 20 minutes earlier. Right. And just to feel the difference, you know, it's my inspiration for the 21 day sadhana that I teach, because when you commit to that, then you actually feel the results of it, where, you know, you don't want to skip a day because you don't feel as good. You're not as a positive force in the world. Yeah. So keeping it, you know, keeping it sustainable and personally appropriate for each person is what I think is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I know for me now, for a long time, it has been like brushing my teeth. Like if I don't do it, something at least in the morning, and my practice is different every day, and sometimes I get in a little and sometimes more, but if I don't do anything, it's like that feeling when you somehow miss brushing your teeth. It's just like, wow, that's not right, something's off, I gotta go back to that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so thanks for sharing about that. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you've inspired me in so many ways, and so many people. You've led so many yoga teacher trainings, and you now offer annual women's programs called Soul on Fire Journey, and you're offering one-on-one spiritual life coaching, and you have such a powerful message to share, which is why, you know, so many people are attracted to your offerings. And I'm curious for you to share, what is your main message in what you offer?
Okay, well, thank you for asking another wonderful question. One of the things that I've just recently come up with is, I call it the three gems of healing. And all of my programs offer that. And it's the three gems of healing are self-love, the power of practice, and purpose-based living. And the reason why is because I feel that self-love is kind of the new definition of love that the world needs now.
Mm.
Because self-love is how we can really help the world from that place of integration and inner power and consciousness that arises from self-love. I feel like when we go out there into the world from that place, we can be a more beneficial presence, something that we call in the Buddhist path, the Bodhisattva path, which is the path to be of a beneficial presence to the planet and to people. And so, you know, we hear of like romantic love and devotional love to God and to our gurus and to our spiritual path and all those things. And I think that's really important. But I really believe that God, the universal power, source energy, whatever it is, really wants us to love ourselves more than anything. And I feel like the power of practice is how we cultivate that self-love, because we are all love. That's what we are. We are divine love. Aham prema. We are love already. But because of where we've come from and the traumas or the things that have happened to us in our life and things that people have said or done and all these things, it can chip away at our self-love and our self-esteem and our purpose in life. And so my feeling is that we need practices to help cultivate the self-love in a deeper way. And then the purpose-based living, the third gem, comes in by once we have that self-love and that self-empowerment, from that place, we can stand up for ourselves, saying, no, this isn't okay. We can speak up, rise up, stand up, be the protectors and the peaceful warriors that the world needs now, that youth needs now, that our next seven generations needs now, that we need, you know? And so that's kind of how it all links together for me. Does that explain?
Yeah, and I think that I think that's exactly the main message I've gotten overall from being, you know, in your presence and just, you know, being in relationship with you, is that is loving, learning to love myself more. And it's still a process. And I'm so grateful for that message. And it's, you know, it's easier now to notice when I'm not loving myself and when I'm being hard on myself. And I can definitely remember several times in our relationship when you've said something that, you know, helped me to realize that I wasn't loving myself well by beating myself up about something, or, you know, just the way that you hold me and everybody, you know, up so highly in such a way that it helps us to love ourselves more. So I definitely see that's the message that I get. So it's, you know, the intention is working, it's coming through.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
I agree now that it's the most important thing. I think it is the main, you know, message that everybody needs in these times. And I think a lot of it comes from just the way our culture, our society is set up, as there's authorities, you know, in school and in government and, you know, patriarchy and everything that teaches us from a really young age that, you know, there's somebody who knows more than we do and needs to teach us, you know, and we need to pay attention to them rather than listen to the wisdom inside. And so I feel that's the other part that I have, you know, come to really value from that teaching of self-love, is that we learn that inside of us there is so much to love, because there is this inner wisdom which we're often kind of shut off to by the powers that be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And you know, even with Ayurveda, I believe that Ayurveda is a really important aspect on the self-love journey, because just the simple understanding of your own dosha and really embracing what that is, I feel like that really helps us to have like some understanding and compassion and wisdom for our own self, and how to learn ways that we can use that valuable information that Ayurveda gives us to accept ourselves and love ourselves and respect ourselves. That's another one of my favorite quotes. I'll share that now. If you all who are you're listening, if you would take a moment to place your hands on your heart And know that your hands are actual extensions of your heart chakra. So you're literally just beaming your own heart energy from your heart into your hands and back to your own heart. And just take this moment to feel these words. I'll say it once and then we'll say it together 2 more times. You're saying it to yourself. I deeply and profoundly accept, respect, forgive, and love myself. And you can say it together with me now, 2 more rounds. I deeply and profoundly accept, respect, and love myself. No matter what anyone else has said, done, no matter what's happened, I deeply and profoundly accept, respect, and love myself for the benefit of all beings. Because when you love yourself, it's a gift to the world. Everybody wins. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I love that practice. You know, I've been doing that since I learned it from you long ago, and probably in that first yoga teacher training I did with you. And it is really powerful. It's really such a balm. And I try to do it in the mornings before I get out of bed when I remember. And it's such a beautiful way to start the day. So thank you.
You're welcome. And yeah. One of my students that you also know, Dakota, who is a wonderful teacher in her own right now. Anyhow, she told me that she also does that with her partner every morning. So they turn to each other and put their hands on their heart and they say to each other, I deeply and profoundly accept, respect, forgive, and love you. And I just think that's so beautiful that she extended it to her partner. And of course, it could be to children. It could be to, you know, teachers of elementary school students. I have like a dream to like take that, that teaching, this quote, to the whole world so that children grow up remembering that, you know, having it sort of engraved in their memory, like the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, no matter what happens to them, if someone does something mean or says something mean, whether they're 11 or teenagers or a boyfriend breaks up with them or whatever, something inside clicks and goes, deeply and profoundly accept, respect, and forgive and love myself, no matter what they said, no matter what happened. And it just, and how there. It just clicks in. Yeah.
Well, you will be happy to know that when I teach at the local schools, because sometimes I do at the elementary schools, I do teach a version of that to the kids and they love it.
Oh,
it's so sweet. Awesome. Yeah. And then I ask them, you know, after yoga, after we're all done, I ask them to share things that they, you know, what came up for them, anything they're feeling, and just the sweetest things come out of their mouths about, you know, feeling calm, loving themselves. It's just, it's so, so beautiful.
Yeah, so it's a
powerful
it is.
Message. Yeah.
Yeah. I've taught it to kids in India, in Costa Rica, in the States, everywhere. And yeah, it's, and I tell them, go into and share this with your parents or your family, you know, your brothers and sisters. Go spread this around.
Amazing. Good. So everybody out there, go and do that. They're doing that at home.
Yeah.
Practice. I recommend doing it in the morning as soon as you wake up and you're still in bed and you can just bring your hands to your heart. And I also learned that from you, Monica, in your Soul on Fire journey.
Is which thing?
Just waking up first thing in the morning, you know, doing a little stretching and then doing that practice in bed before I get up.
Yes.
Yeah. So Monica just is about to publish her first book. So I'm so excited for you. And tell us about it. What's it called? And tell us all about it.
Well, it's definitely a heart project from a tragedy that happened in my life with my oldest son, Shane, dying from suicide about 4 years ago. And the book is called With You Forever, Surviving My Son's Suicide, An Oracle of Love, Hope, and Channeled Messages. And so it's about the really fascinating experience that happened to me shortly after he left the world of form and started writing through my hand. I didn't even know what it was then, but now I know it's one of the clairvoyances called automatic writing. And I didn't really know what was happening, but I just kind of was like, okay, I just kind of went with it, and let the writing come through my hand and then not think about what it was writing. And then later, when I was finished, I would read it. And I later found out that it was a form of channeling. And so, really, I never thought about writing a book about it. And it's fairly private, but Shane was really clear and he wanted me to put it out there in the world. So it's really a book written by me and him. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Do you happen to have a passage that you could share with us?
I do. It's interesting. Somebody asked me that recently, and some of the passages are longer, some of them are very short, some of them are like kind of a quote or a word or something like that. And I'll share with you this one that I remember so clearly when and how it happened to me. I was in India at one of my guru's ashrams, Amma, in Kerala, and I was doing my practice, my meditation. I was, in the space of quiet in the dark and all of that. And I was just kind of sitting there in the quiet doing my meditation. And suddenly I received this message from Shane. And sometimes I get it. It's not always through writing. And it just came through loud and clear. And this is what it was. I was in this like devotional space of being in this like sacred union with God, And suddenly I get this message from Shane that says, Mom, can you love yourself as much as you love God? And I was like, whoa. I mean, I was just like, kind of like, holy shit. Like,
Wow.
what?
Yeah, I got chills.
Love myself as much as God? Like, really? Like, I love God so much. Like, can I love myself that much? Like, that's a lot. And it was just kind of like, it just blew me away. And I just sat there in this like stunned realization that God wants us to love ourselves as much as we love God, because that's yoga, the realization and the embodiment and the integration that we are one with God. And so it was just like this mind-blowing thing. And so that's just. That's the shortest one, probably. Maybe not the shortest. I think there's shorter ones, but you know, each page has something kind of like that in it, where I call it an oracle because although there's other chapters of me writing, you know, about other aspects of messages that I wanted to come through this, or Shane wanted to come through, the main part of the book are these messages from Shane.
Wow.
That, you know, I just kind of think of someone just kind of like opening the book up and saying, what message do I need for today?
Yes. Well, I'm so excited to read it. And I knew Shane, and, you know, I love him, and I miss him just from we got to work together on Monica's house, because I was doing all kinds of tile work and mosaic work in Monica's house, and he was assisting me. And he was a remarkably deep and soulful young man. And I do think about him sometimes. And so I'm really excited for the book. I'm really excited.
Thank you, Lily. And
yeah.
I think that was a really special time for him to spend with you and Gwendolyn at that time. So I'm really grateful that he got to have that time with you, and you got to have that time with him as well.
Yeah. I am so curious, and I guess I'm sure many others would be curious, you know, part of the title of your book and part of what you've been doing now for the past 4 years is learning to heal from Shane's suicide. And to me, that's even before I had my son, even when I was a younger girl, even, I always just knew that to me, the most heartbreaking thing in the world is when a parent loses a child. And to me, it's still, you know, my biggest fear. So I mean, I'm sure it's a huge topic, and you can only just begin to give us a glimpse of it. But if you could just speak a little bit to that process for you, I would be grateful.
Yeah, it's definitely been quite the journey, for sure. You're right, and that's a whole nother topic. But I definitely, you know, fell to my knees, and I really, I was shattered, and had to really find my will to live again. And again, I feel that the power of my practices was one of the things that helped me get my will to live back. Because at that time, I had been practicing, having a daily practice for so many decades, that the inspiration behind the power of practice, the online course that I have, is actually that what I found was the very next day, hysterical, like in another state, I literally like fell out of bed and rolled to my mat and cried and wailed hysterically through my practice. And I know that it wasn't me. There was no cognition involved. There was no part of me that was like, oh, I should do my practice and that's going to make me feel better. It was nothing like that. Mm. It's like the practice did me. It moved through me. And so that is a major part of what helped me heal and continues to help me heal, as well as the support that I have through my gurus, my lama, my teacher Shiva at the time was very supportive, friends and family. You know, I had a huge network of support, you know, like people like you, Lily, and friends who really rallied around me to support me. And so that was a huge part of it, as well as my Crested Butte community. And I think having a purpose, you know, which is why one of the three gems of healing is purpose-based healing, is purpose-based living, really also helped me, because I had people to serve that were counting on me, you know, and who needed me, who had their own forms of healing and trauma and transformation that they wanted my support with. And so that was something that also kept me going. My other two sons, Sky and Ronan, they probably are the number one reason why I was like, I'm gonna stay on the planet, you know, for them. And then, you know, probably the most esoteric part, but vital part, was from Shane's channeling to me, talking to me, really made me realize that life doesn't end at death.
Right.
And it really, like, I got to experience the reality of having a spirit-based relationship. And that, you know, that's what a lot of what comes through in the book. And it just took me out of the sort of this third dimensional living on this earth plane to, and opened me up to this whole new level of living in, you know, the other dimensions of life. And so that's kind of in a nutshell how I've made it through. But, you know, I want to say very honestly that it's been over 4 years, and I'm still healing, you know. Right. I don't know. Some people say you'll be always healing from a tragedy of this kind. I don't know, but it's definitely a path where grief is a part of my life, you know. It's it is a different kind of grief. I think that, you know, I just lost my father. I shouldn't say lost, but he just passed on himself in September. And it had a completely different effect on me. You know, he lived a long life. We got to say our goodbyes. He got to say his goodbyes. You know, it was a totally different experience. I felt a lot of peace with it.
Right.
But there is a kind of death that's called death out of order, and which happens from tragedies and, you know, earlier than old age. And then there's death out of order that is a suicide, which is a whole nother kind of death that comes with all of its other questions and regrets and shame, because it's not socially responsible, and it points the finger at the family, and, you know, like all these things. And so it's definitely been like really intense. I have, you know, suffered from PTSD and, you know, brain trauma, and I'm learning how to address that and heal that. And so it's an intense journey, I will tell you. And even though I feel really close to Shane, I still miss him, you know, like in this third dimension. And so it's this path of, you know, living with one foot in this dimension where I can really miss him and just, you know, just yesterday, just grieving him not being here, you know, to the deep and profoundly fulfilling spiritual relationship that we have. So it's a little bit of both and everything in between.
Right. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I can only barely imagine. Yeah. And I've just watched you and admired how you have dealt with tragedy and managed it. And, you know, I think I've just been amazed by you and the way that it's actually propelled you to grow as a person in huge ways that I've seen. And so, yeah, amazing. Props to you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah. Shane is an Aries fire sign, and he's super passionate about me spreading this message of self-love into the world. And, you know, that's what I'm taking to heart.
Yeah.
And spreading throughout all the things that I do now, and helping and supporting people like you to continue spreading those messages in your own individual ways through Ayurveda and yoga and all the inspiration that you offer to people. Because, you know, it's changing lives, you know, what you do, what we do, it's changing lives. I know it. I know it. I've heard it. I've seen it. And so I feel like really you and I are just very, very blessed to be on the path to mentoring, supporting, guiding, teaching, sharing the wisdoms that we've been blessed to have been given and to share it with the world.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Well, thank you. And when is your book coming out, by the way?
Oh, thanks for asking.
Find it?
Oh, thank you. Well, I do have a With You Forever book launch team. If anyone wants to be on that, I have a wonderful publisher from your neck of the woods, actually. It's a great story of how she came to me and offered to publish my book. Otherwise, I was going to have to self-publish it, but now I have a publisher. And she has encouraged me to have a book launch team, which she'll also be a part of. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can let me know. But I'm hoping that it goes officially launched on April 6th, which is Shane's birthday.
Okay, good. And so we should just be connected with you on your social media or your website. And
thank you, Lily. Thank you so much for having me and for everything that you do. And thanks to everybody who has listened and taken the time to hear my story. It means a lot to me. And I really hope that there is a pearl that you can take with you that can be a blessing for you.
I am certain. Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so happy we got to do this podcast together. And thank you for continuing to be such an inspiration to me and a friend to me and an inspiration to so many. You're just so, so, so special. I'm so grateful.
Back at you, Lily. Same, same. Thank you so much for inspiring me and so many others.
Hey guys, I'm just popping in with a quick announcement. I want to let you know that I'm offering an online Ayurveda immersion. It's called the Ayurveda Virtual Deep Dive, and it's coming up on Thursday mornings in February and March, and they'll be recorded if you can't make it then. But it's going to be a really awesome way for you to learn more about Ayurveda, to really dive in, to actually be with me, you know, on the screen live, to be able to ask your questions and to really cover a lot of important topics in Ayurveda to help you learn how to better implement these principles to create more natural balance and ease and health for your life and for your family. So if you want to check it out, head over to my website, lilyrussoyoga.com, and you'll find it there. I'd love to answer any questions you have about it. You can always reach out via my email, lily@lilyrussoyoga.com.